Hi, and welcome back to Macadamia. So this is the first episode that me and Lena got to host together. And man, you're in for a treat. Not just a treat, some baked goods. We got to interview one of the leaders in the world of bakery. Yes, you are in the right podcast. Thomas Tepry-Chamblain is a scientist by training from Montpellier University. He is a former teacher of science, and for the last 20 years, he is one of the leading figures in the world of bread making. He teaches classes in France for people who want to transition from their old job to bakery, and he teaches master classes for world-renowned bakers all over the world. We are extremely happy on the opportunity that we had to talk to him, to see his point of view on how bakery and science, which basically craft making and the art of discovery, really come together. It was fascinating. We had so many insights and we hope you enjoyed it as well. If you do like our podcast, do rate us on your favorite app and also join our Facebook group to come and see who we are about to host, ask questions, and be a part of our small growing community. Enjoy. Hi, good morning, Thomas.
Hi, good morning.
And we have Lena with us as well.
Hi, everyone.
So we both, me and Lena, are very, very excited to have you, to host you and have about an hour or so to pick your brain. Your profession is extremely cool. And personally, I would do that if I could, if I was not infected by the bug of science. Biology specifically. Enough words for me. Thomas, tell us a bit about yourself.
Actually, I'm a baker since 20 years or something like that. But before, it's true that I study biology and I also teach biology. So I have a kind of biologic and scientific education and background. But after a few years like a teacher, I've decided 20 years ago to change my job because I can't find something very cool for me teaching biology. It was not sufficient, and I feel that I can't find something better for me. And like a lot of people, I love to produce bread. I loved that, and I decided to open a bakery. It was a bit crazy because I was not a baker. I was a biologist. But finally, it works, and little by little, I became a baker. But I still use the biology education that I've learned, and it was really helpful for me during this last 20 years. And I'm going back and forth between bakery field and biology, actually, to write new books about bakery. Always using my biology background. So yes, I think we can discuss this morning about biology, about bakery, and about maybe the relation we can have between science and bakery, or science and other kind of job.
Yeah, we would love that. And when you did the transition from teaching science, from your early academic career in science and biology, and then teaching science to bakery,
aside from the passion, what part of like your scientific training you took into the baker station?
As you know, produce bread is simple. You have just to mix flour, water, and ferments like bacteria and yeast. So the game is really simple, but unfortunately it doesn't work very well if you don't understand what you're doing. So I use mainly the fact that I can understand a bit about fermentation because of biology. So I started to study more what is helpful for me for producing bread. So what is the activity of bacteria? What is the activity of yeast? How can I join both of my job, biology and bakery? So, and very, and it works. I mean, when you understand how live, what is the condition to grow a bacteria and a yeast, you very fast understand things in bakery field, because we are discussing about biology, in fact. So, because producing bread is like growing bacteria or growing yeast. So you can make bridge very easily. And so I decided to go deeply in biology to improve my bakery. So, and it works. So I
can you give us an example?
Yeah, sure. When you start to produce bread, maybe Elena, you produce bread at home, I don't know. But
my husband just started.
when you do bread, sometimes it's not very good. Sometimes the dough is acid. Sometimes the bread collapse, is too flat, is not enough bubble inside. So you have to you have to start at a point. So you have to decide which kind of water I have to use: cold water, hot water. What is the right quantity of water I can use? And in fact, if you have no biologic elements, it's a really difficult game, because you have a lot of rules. You have temperature, you have hydration, you have time, and only with these three elements, if you can't choose, it's really difficult to make something good. Because if you move one and you don't know if it is the right one, and if you move left or right, you don't know. So it's, and you can play this game during years without to find what you're looking for. But if you have just a little biology, you know that if it's too cold, the microorganisms can't develop. If it's too hot, they develop very fast. Okay, so you can go deeper in fine tuning, you know, it's very fast. You can understand what happened. So you move one, okay, just temperature, and you observe what happened. Also, because you have, or I have, and you have too, and scientific education. So you don't move all the elements in the same time. You move one and you just observe. You move the other one, you observe. And little by little, you can define some little rules able to help you.
Yeah. Something so like how strict are the protocols that you develop for bread making?
Yeah, it's a good question, because actually I'm a baker. I'm not a scientific anymore. So the point in my job is it has to work. So you are not like in a protocol like in science, because the goal is to produce bread. It's not to develop a scientific rule. It's to produce bread. So but little by little, you can go deeper and make something relatively fine. So actually we control in bread temperature, hydration, pH for acidity, time obviously. So that's the main element we control. And when we want to understand more, we have to use other kind of tools like genetic. Sometimes we also do DNA extraction, barcoding analyze, this kind of stuff. But it's mainly to understand better. It's sometimes difficult to link these new elements and the reality of our job. And it's something important, I think, for my job, because actually I'm a kind of bridge between science and bakery. And it's to find the connection. If you go too deep in science, there's no connection with the job. And if there's no science at all, you can't improve the job. So we have to find the good balance between both.
It sounds like your approach in this field is kind of unique. When you come in with new knowledge and your understanding of genetics and the usage of it for a better produce. So I can share that as a scientist, as a scientist in academia, our holy grail is to have something that is translated to a therapy, to a diagnostic tool. And you're saying you're doing this on a daily basis when you analyze the genome of your microorganisms and produce better bread from your bakery. Is your approach unique? It's something that you think is taken well, or the other way around, in what is considered kind of a very traditional field?
Yeah, I think it's not traditional, but it's not unique. We have few people in the world doing that. So because I'm not alone, doing bread and also with a scientific background, there's few people who are doing that in the world. But I think, yeah, for me, the main things is it's a kind of politic approach. It's to give more knowledge in the field, and also to give more liberty, more freedom for people who are producing. So I just give an example. I'm working actually quite deeply on product like panettone, and all this product only with sourdough, only with natural levain, without yeast, without commercial yeast. And this is something difficult with rich dough. I mean, rich dough with butter, eggs, sugar, and so on. And historically, the main product in this niche is the panettone in Italy. But it's difficult to find a good analyze about what happened in these doughs, because I don't know. Let's say 20 or 30 years ago, there's only 100 people doing that in the world in Italy. So it's something very, very special. But more and more, these products are very good, and a lot of bakers in the world produce panettone. But it's really hard to find good article on this point. So I started to analyze what happened. And something very strange is this product, panettone, but we can also produce kind of croissant, brioche, only with sourdough. And each time, the point is there's no acidity on this dough. And it's quite special, because when you use sourdough, normally it's sour. You have sour. But that's the point. So I started to analyze, and like other researcher, I started to extract DNA from the mother dough, from the levain. And I find nothing very interesting. I find mainly Lactobacillus San Francisco, which is the main bacteria in all the levain in the world. So it's just normal. It represents 99% of the bacteria, okay? And a yeast, very, very usual yeast, which is Candida Kazakhstania, Humilis, which is also very simple. So, I mean, in the levain, first of all, I think I found nothing interesting. But little by little, I I've understood that the point is in the final dough, is not in the leaven. And I try to extract DNA from the final dough. And I find something amazing. I find that we destroy with sugar, we destroy the king of bacteria, which is Lactobacillus San Francisco. We destroy it, we kill it. So it's amazing, we kill it. And finally, the bacteria who are like minoritary, because it's only 1% of bacteria or 1% of less, they can develop because San Francisco is dying. And in the final dough, we have more other bacteria than San Francisco, because San Francisco is dying. And doing this process, this traditional process of panettone, we are able finally to develop a bacteria population, which is normally less than 1% of the bacteria in a dough. And all these bacteria are very interesting because they produce like exopolysaccharide, like dextran. And these dextran are very involved in the shelf life of the product, smoothness, shelf life. And it gives finally the unicity of a panettone, of this viennoiserie with levain. But to understand that, I need a lot of tools. I need to extract the DNA. I need to make barcoding. I also need to develop bacteria and yeast alive on, I don't know how to say that. I have to grow them.
On a petri dish.
Yes, to understand on each step and to be able to count how many bacteria and yeast I have on the dough.
So do you have a lab or do you have a side room?
Hopefully I have friends in lab, so I can do this job with them. And because in my school and in the bakery, in my bakeries, I have not the equipment to do that. So when I have to do that, I'm joining a lab.
Great and collaboration.
The goal at final, the goal, we have new scientific elements, so it's interesting. But the goal finally, it's to permit people to produce this product more easily. Mm-hmm. That's only my final goal. I'm not a scientist. I will not publish something in a scientific review. I'm writing a book for baker. Mm-hmm. So using this element, I'm trying to explain them simply to permit baker to produce more easily this kind of product. And my place actually is more in the side of the baker than in the side of science.
Yeah,
I make a bridge, but I make the bridge for the baker.
For the scientist part that you work with, what is their aim in this collaborative project? Do they want to have to understand the end culture of the bread and then utilize it to make new stuff?
Yeah, the point is a part of the scientific I work with, they doing very friendly for me because I ask them. But another part, I work also with a laboratory in Montpellier in southeast of France. It's a lab dedicated on biology, evolution of bacteria and yeast population. And they have a very good research program, focused on bread. So they work a lot on sourdough. So for them, it's really interesting. And also we have kind of exchange because I can give them some sourdough, new souche of sourdough, and they can also use my lab to produce bread. So we can exchange these things. So I use their knowledge and their equipment. But finally, it's also helpful for them. For this point, for example, there's a lot of article on a lot, but not enough about the minoritary. What the minoritary bacteria do in a final product or in a final population, because usually we focus on the main bacteria, the main yeast. But this case, for example, it's a very good example of a real action of the minority bacteria, and it's a good example. Maybe they can use it for the things. So it's like science, you know. You're looking for something and you find another thing. So
it's incredible. I was actually planning to ask you about paradigms. You know, science based a lot on having paradigms, and then once in a while someone breaks a paradigm and finds something very interesting. And it seems like this is your day-to-day life.
Sorry, could you tell me again? I'm not sure to understand what you say.
I'm saying that in science there are paradigms, right? Like, you know, this works this way, and we all accept it until some scientist comes and says, actually, I found it, you know, it works differently, or it has a better explanation, and then he has a real breakthrough. And it looks like, and I wanted to ask whether this is something that happens in your world, and it sounds like this is something that happens in your kitchen every day.
Yeah, but one point I think which is different, it's the empirism, because in bakery field we have 2,000 years of, or not 2,000 years, 14,000 years of empirism. Mm-hmm. So things are working. Things work. Yeah. And we have just to understand how they work. And then maybe it's more easy to control. But for example, a lot of people produce panettone. They don't know absolutely nothing about bacteria, but they are able to produce wonderful product. And most of time, quite better than mine, because I'm not only a baker. I'm involved in different things, bakery, but also science, books, education. And finally, one people who produce panettone each day of his life, he become a specialist, and he's very good doing that. And a part of my job is to understand what is the details in this practice. Because sometimes details are very important. And just a little details, it's not just a... it could be important. So first my job is to pick up all these details and to understand if there are a link between these details and science. But the science finally could explain this guy what happened inside, but this guy at the end is better than me to produce panettone. But doing this science, I can help people who are not producing panettone to produce this kind of product, to understand how to start, how to develop. But if they don't practice a lot, the product is not very good. So it's a mix between understanding and practicing. And it's really important for us in our job, like a bakery, but I think that's the same in a farm or for other kind of job. It's practical jobs. So you have to practice. If you just understand, you're just a scientific. You are not a baker. So we have not to forget that. Yeah.
Yeah. You build a intuition, sort of. I think at some point there's a balance whether you understand what you're doing and you're feeling what you're doing.
Yeah. But my conviction is, if you understand, you do it better, or you do it sometimes more rational. Because we have also to discuss a point is mainly we work to be able to win money, because it's a job. So it's a part of that. We have to rationalize, to streamline a bit the way to produce, because it's more and more difficult to live just selling bread. Because bread is cheap. You sell bread for a few euros per kilo. So you have to understand also what you are doing. If it's not necessary, you don't do this step. Maybe you can go directly for the next step. And we have, it's science, it's also way, keeping the tradition, keeping the quality, to streamline a bit the process. So it's a mix of quality, efficiency, understanding. It's a mix of all of that, I think. Mm-hmm. It's really concrete. It's and just this point, I think for me, it's something also interesting. It's if I do only science, sometimes I lose a bit the concreteness of things. When I'm producing bread, it's really concrete. I give food, I feed people. It's concrete. And finally, I use science for something. Yeah, it's very, very simple, very concrete. And yeah, for me, it's cool. I like that.
So from your, specifically from the, and I'm probably mispronouncing it, pane, right? Understanding this very traditional that you said only a handful of people is doing around the world. For us and in the lab, in the academia, the pick of the peak point of the research is publication, getting it out there, getting people to understand what you have done in the lab in the last 5-6 years, and maybe even reproduce it or build on that the next stage in understanding the unknown. What is the equivalent of publication that I'm telling, I'm seeing it in the world of bakery? How you get your finding to this Italian man or lady and in the Dolomites somewhere who that does this day in, day out?
Yeah, yes, that's true. That publication it's something very important for you, like as a researcher. For us, it's not the same because we are producing bread, or we are producing panettone. So, for researcher, it's a way to obtain money to publish. If you have good publication, your lab can get money from institute, from government, from. So for us, we get money from the product. So it's a bit different. But for me, because I'm a baker, but I'm also a teacher in bakery field. I have developed my own school, and I also teach in different kind of school in California, in Spain, and all over the world. So for me, publication, it's a point, because I'm also writing books. So books, it's a way to share this knowledge, but also traditional courses, it's also a way to share. So I teach a lot, and it's a way face to face to give information for baker who are involved in this kind of research too. And more, I think the new generation of baker need this kind of understanding. So my job when I teach bakery is not to teach how to make a croissant or how to make just a bread. Usually I'm focusing on simple scientific elements to make bridge between science and practice. And usually I teach for, it's kind of masterclass for baker. It's not for beginner, it's for baker, because usually the baker work and they have a lot of questions. And if we can answer a part of this question or give them new question, because sometimes you don't answer, you give just people arrive with one question and he leave with 10 questions. So that's the science. You don't answer all things. Sometimes just give more question. But I think it's the way to for me the way to publish. It's to teach.
I just wanted to ask, because you were telling us before that that you teach a lot of people that come from different professions, right?
Yeah.
So how does that work? What do they bring with them that helps them to be good bakers?
Okay. Yeah, so two different points. When I teach abroad, I teach only for baker in Tel Aviv, in San Francisco, in Madrid. I teach in bakery school, so it's for baker, professional baker usually. But in France, I have developed my own school 15 years ago. And it's a school dedicated in France for people who who want to change that job. So these people in France, they arrive at school, and in fact, they are not baker. Usually they just produce bread at home, like beginner, but they are not baker. And so they are mainly people with interesting job, like lawyer, architect, designer, engineer, this kind of job. And all these people brings a lot of knowledge, a lot of process, a lot of understanding. Even if they are not biologists like you and me, they have a lot of skillness and they can use it. And it gives for the group, for the school, a lot of very good things. People, a part of people are able to develop, I don't know, a soft or a very incredible Excel files, the spreadsheet for to manage the production, you know, something like that. People are designer, so they can help for, I don't know, web graphism or this kind of thing. And each people finally use his own knowledge and skillness to develop his own bakery. And it gives something very interesting. I think it gives a very, very high level in bakery in general. Yeah. And I like that. Yeah.
Is it common for scientists to come into your school?
Yes, I have scientists in the school too. I have biologists, I have people who work in nuclear physics. Yes, and for them it's just normal to analyze what we are doing. It's just their education. So, and also they need more. They also give me and give us more exigence. They don't need just a little explanation. They want to understand deeper. So it's also this kind of ask who help me or the other people who are doing that to research more. Okay, so 10 years ago maybe we said, okay, temperature doing that, but now it's not sufficient. We have to explain what the temperature is doing really. So we go deeper and deeper. It's also a way for me to not to stop the research, to still keep time to read articles, to meet people, and yeah, try to keep honest with my student. So I have to be informed about what happens, even if I'm not at the top of biology, because it's not my job to be at the top, but I have to read. Yeah.
During your teaching process for bakers, and you said you mentioned the masterclass, so you're trying to get them into, like, this is a scientific process, again, as you mentioned, a bit of the basic, how you do trial and error, because you mentioned in the beginning that you can isolate each element in the fermentation or in the entire baking process, and you can go on a wide range of possibilities for each factor. But science allows you to really minimize it to a place that you can handle and not really investigate the entire spectrum. Are you incorporating this kind of training of scientific thinking in your masterclass for bakers?
Yes, but a point is when you teach for baker, usually baker arrive with their own process and their questions. So mainly people don't change the entire process when they go back home. They just want to improve that process. So each people have his own questions. One people say, okay, I mix my dough, I don't know, at 24 Celsius, and I wait for 5 hours. Then I put it in the cooler at 5 Celsius overnight, and finally I have a problem. I have bubble on my crust. What is the problem? So we have to discover together what happened during the process, which kind of things appears during that. But the people this guy, for example, don't want to change his entire process because it's difficult. Sometimes he manage a team with few people, and if he have to change all it, it's just impossible. So he just want to improve one point. So most of time we work on understanding of what happened, and if we can improve the final product without to change all the process, because I perfectly know that operationally to change the entire process in a company, it's something huge. It's something really difficult. So we work mainly on this part, but we also work on the, I think, the basic scientific education, which is to ask the good question. Sometimes you say, okay, I work in the morning, and sometimes I start my job in the evening, and I feel each time I work in the morning, I have this kind of problem. The baker can say that. And he make a link, which is not absolutely not scientific, between an element and another element. But sometimes there's no link between both. And in this kind of courses, it's also sometimes a way to give the minimal education, scientific education, which is to look for link between things and not to imagine the link, because we work in my work in the bakery field, there's a lot of dogma, it's okay in English, yeah. A lot of imagination, a lot of things were not true. And a part of this job is to analyze, to understand these things could be true. These things, there's a link between that and that. And this is just pure imagination. So it's sometimes it's not easy. And that's sometimes the first step to define kind of protocol to be able to fix one problem. First, we have to analyze the problem. So I don't know if I answer perfectly your question, but in this kind of courses, we have different point of view. Some is to fix some details, and we have to use understanding in the process to fix one details. And the other part is to give more general elements and more general method to work and to understand.
While we were talking, I actually was thinking that you mentioned a lot that you want to improve the process. You try to understand what caused the result you saw at the end, or how you can expect how to perfect what the final product will be. But a major, a big thing of this is what you're measuring. Have you tried to figure out different ways to measure elements that are important in the process? Seen a change in this? So ways you measure pH, or you mentioned DNA, like how long has it been used in your field?
Yeah, the main things when I teach abroad and in France too, it's to measure effectively acidity. So pH and TTA, but mainly pH because it's faster for baker. Because it is a way to understand what happened in the bacteria growing. When you measure pH, you have a vision of what happened in the evolution of population of bacteria. So that's a very good point. And most of bakers don't know about pH and don't use it. But little by little, it changed. Also because pH is easy to manage, is not too expensive to buy a pH meter, it's not too difficult to manage. You can use it easily in bakery. So managing pH, in fact, is a real point for us. Temperature and hydration, obviously, but it's more common. Most of bakers already manage temperature and hydration. But pH is quite new. That's the kind of thing we can measure. At the other part is how can we measure the quality of the final product? And this is really difficult. because it's something subjective. A good bread is, what is a good bread? It's nothing. You can measure volume, you can measure the weight, the ratio between weight and volume, but finally we are not necessarily agree about what is good. Maybe you prefer it with more volume, maybe I prefer it more dense. So what is good? Good is nothing. So, but in the world in general, there is kind of trend, and actually we like, everybody like bread with high scoring, with big bubble inside, with deep color in US, with clear color in Israel, with, so, you know, there's kind of things like that. So you can say, okay, a good product for Israel, it's this kind of product, a good product for California is this kind of product. So we can manage what is good, what is not good, but it's not something scientific, it's just subjective. So the only things we can really measure is the parameters during the process at the beginning. So temperature, pH, weight, hydration, these kind of things. And the other things we can analyze really is not for baker. It's like DNA, but you can't extract DNA in your bakery. So these things are more fundamental research, and we can measure it. We can understand different things. And then we have to explain something simple, useful for baker. Yeah.
And this is what you do in your new book?
Yes, the new book is dedicated for panettone, brioche, all the rich dough with natural leavened. So the book is built in three parts. The first part is theory. I try to explain this scientific element. Then second part is very practical. How can you buy the mold? How can you buy the flour? Which kind of flour you need? So the practical. And the third part is recipes. So I try to make the bridge between theory and bakery. Yeah.
Fantastic.
So next book, it's actually written. I have to finish to edit it and to print it. So, and it will be translated in French, in Spanish, and in English.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Looking forward to this. Sounds amazing. Personally, I love brioche, a good brioche. Yeah. Never made a good one, but I love eating it. Well, Thomas, it's amazing. You live in so many levels, science, bakery, tradition, and cutting edge. It's amazing. I think your story is exactly what our audience is looking for. It's someone who is, as you mentioned, is the in between. You have a produce you want to make, but you want to understand how to make it better, and you want to relay this information to others for them to understand how to make a good panettone, although they have not done this for day in, day out for tens of or hundreds of years. And that's amazing. It sounds that you yourself taking a lot from your background as a scientist and of course as an educator, and employ it forward and hopefully growing a young generation of bakers / science scientists.
It's funny because when we were planning to do this episode, I was thinking of sort of, you know, we will talk about transferable skills, but it seems like these are just scientific skills that you use in your bakery, which is, it's great.
Okay. If I can add just a thing, I think it's important. It's the goal of all of that. What is the goal? You know, we can live without bread. We can live without brioche. We can live without science. I'm not sure, but we can live without a lot of things. But I think the goal is politic. The goal is not bread. The goal is to keep the craft craft maker, like baker, like this kind of job alive. And if we don't do that, our job will disappear. And I think it's a way to, for me, it's my work is to help these politic things to survive. It's important for me that craft maker can survive, can give quality. And it's also important for me that worker can be open mind and happy in their job. So when someone change his job to become a baker, I think it's good if he can survive with this job, if he can be happy with that, if he can grow his family with this job. I think it's the action finally is politic, and I think it's important each time to understand what are we doing. I make a good job because I produce a good bread. Yes, okay, but people can live without my bread, even if I give them a good bread, good food, pleasure. But the structuration of our society needs also something stronger. And I think for me, that's the main point. And maybe I could do the same without bread. I could do the same, I don't know, with cheese. And I will be happy to do it too. So yes, well, it's important not to lose the final goal. And the final goal for me is politic, yeah.
I totally agree with you. If you can keep the link between craft making and keep it going and progressing and constantly talking with what happens in other fields, like you coming from biology and keeping in touch with what happens in there and bringing them to a very, very specific, very traditional and important craft, that will keep it alive and make people happy. Yeah, I'm a bake as a hobby, and it gives me a peace of mind. Yeah, and totally relate to that.
Okay.
Yeah, Tomás, thank you very much for your time and your insight. And as I told before, I can't wait to get your book and start working on that. And of course, we are gonna leave in the episode links the link to your website and the school, and whoever's hearing us
and to the Instagram. It looks amazing. I wish I could come.
Yeah, the place is very good. It's in Provence, in a very quiet place. It's a village of five people. Yes. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Tomás. Have a good day.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Elena. Bye-bye, Ofer.
Bye. Thank you, Tomás.